it. Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 207 for September 6th of 2024. How y'all doing today? We are here at the lovely Hyatt Place near TCU. If you haven't caught one of our live shows, please come on down every Thursday night between 6 and 7 o'clock. We got the game on for you NFL fans, so you're not going to miss anything. TCU is back at home facing the LIU Sharks. We'll talk about them a little while later, but they defeated the Stanford Cardinal. I was corrected the other day. It's singular, not plural, so thank you for whoever sent me that email. I forgot your name. We want to welcome everyone who is on the podcast this week. First off, everyone's favorite punter from down under, Jordy Sandy. Jordy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Excited to watch the Frogs at home this week and, yeah, keep this momentum going that we built on last week.
And you brought your brother to the podcast today.
Yeah, my ugly brother.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned he was your ugly one, and that was how your parents told him apart. So that's what he said. That wasn't me. It was an interesting game, and we're definitely going to be talking a little bit about the special teams side of ball with Jordy here in just a little bit. But we'd also want to welcome back. He missed last week, and he may not be from down under, but we still love him. Nathan Hernandez. Nathan, how you doing?
I'm doing just great. I'm excited. I got to get my podcast voice back, but yeah.
That's okay. It'll come. Well, we're going to start off today's podcast talking a little bit of TCU news, a little bit of sports writing news as well. So we're going to welcome Barry Lewis back to the podcast. If you remember last year, Barry.
Thank you.
Yes. This guy's fan club there here today. Barry gracefully gave us a lot of updates last season. He'll be doing that, of course, this season. But we have a new introduction for Barry. Barry is now with TCU Horned Frogs on SI.
That is correct.
Yeah, so there was a little bit of a change up during the off season. So can you explain a little bit about that?
There was, and a lot of that happened back in January, February. There was a lot of uproar. A lot of news nationally that SI had laid off 200 people, and there was a lot of doubt about what was going to happen with Sports Illustrated. Well, come to find out, it's all for the better. Things are much improved. The operators of the Sports Illustrated license now has changed, and the owner of the brand has this new company, Minute Media. They've totally changed things, how things are going, and we're already seeing some improvements on our side. And with that came a name change. So they got rid of the Fan Nation that we were a part of for the first three
right.
years. And now all of the brands are just the team versus the team name on SI. So we're the TCU Horned Frogs on SI. We're one now of 62 NCAA sites.
So somebody asked me this earlier. SI, is it still Sports Illustrated or is it just SI?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Well, there you go. There's your answer. It's both. That's great.
I think they're wanting it to be SI, okay. But it's still always going to be Sports Illustrated, so I think they're not going to lose that. So.
Got it. Okay, sounds good. So what is happening news-wise at TCU Horned Frogs on SI?
Well, the big news, and this is what I wanted to share tonight, is our team has really grown since last football season. We have just keep adding a lot of expert writers to the team, and we're covering all sorts of areas of sports, not just TCU football. We're covering all TCU sports, and now we're moving a lot into Big 12 sports and a lot into some national news. I want you to take a guess. How many writers do we have on our team now?
I'm going to say at least 5.
Keep going.
13.
How about 19?
19 writers. Wow, I was way off.
Exactly. One of our new writers is Mac. He's here tonight. He joined us a couple weeks ago. He's a student at TCU, journalism student in his junior year, and it only took him 2 weeks to not be the rookie on the team. We added 3 more last night that are going to give us some national perspective. They are based out of Georgia and Tennessee, and they are writing for a plethora of other sites, including University of Tennessee, Tennessee Titans, Cincinnati Bearcats, Cincinnati Reds, Arkansas, Florida State, Nebraska. They have a lot of experience in that area. And they're really going to help us put some new articles out there on TCU recruiting and be able to have a lot of updates as visits happen and talk to prospective new players, et cetera. So we're going to get a lot more that we haven't been able to do in the last 3 years on that.
That sounds exciting. It's really nice when you have a growing team like that, but you're adding different perspectives to the team.
Correct, exactly. So our plan right now during football season is we're going to have anywhere from 40 to 50 new pieces of content every week.
Well, and one of the areas that I know a lot of people have been asking me about is the increase in the number of different podcast shows that we have.
That's true.
And so, of course, over the off season, there was the Bullpen was a big part of the TCU or the Killer Frogs podcast network, where we actually was covering baseball.
Correct.
We covered a lot of areas that weren't traditionally covered in podcasts. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
So we have four right now, four podcasts that our group is doing. During football season, we have the Gridiron Frogs, all about football, talking about what we're doing here, the game that was and the game that will be. During basketball season, we have Fast Break, and that's talking both about men's basketball and women's basketball. And then we had the Bullpen, all about baseball. And then the latest one.
And there's a new one, right?
Yeah, the latest one. The Campus Tour. Nate, who's here tonight, he's one of the ones that's doing that. And their goal, which I think is a great idea, is they're getting a student athlete from each of TCU's 22 sports to come on and talk about their sport, their experience at TCU, et cetera. So far, they've had beach volleyball, rifle, equestrian, and I can't remember the fourth one, baseball. Yeah. So they're just going down the list and getting new student athletes for everyone to become aware of.
Yeah, this one I really love because for those of us who remember Wes Phelan, who was one of the originators here at Killer Frogs, he actually started a podcast or wanted to start a podcast called The Killer Frogs Cafe. And that was kind of the format that he was looking for. He wanted to actually highlight a lot of these Olympic sports and some of these other sports that weren't, you know, the big name, big ticket,
sure,
big scholarship sports that you normally are used to hearing about all the time. And he even had, at one point in time, I forgot who the diving coach was at TCU at the time, even brought him a Speedo to wear on the podcast. thankfully, I think I forgot where I've stored those pictures. Don't know if they will ever. Oh, somebody in the audience, Rima, said she still has them, so that's good to know. But maybe they will see the light of day someday. But yeah, that was a really good concept, and I really wish that he was around to still continue that. But I'm glad to hear that Nate is pushing forward with that, because I think that is something that is really needed.
And on that concept there, I know you just see get the audio parts of it, but there's also a video that they do. And this last one, they were all three sitting around on a couch just chatting. And so it was having that cafe type of conversation feel. So.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you, Barry.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate all those updates this week. Of course, we'll welcome Barry back next week with more news from TCU Horned Frogs on SI. And, of course, you just go to killerfrogs.com. That'll take you directly to the website, and you can read all the articles from those 19, did I get that right, 19 writers. Wow, that is quite a bit. Well, one of the things you can definitely read about, we're going to be talking about today, and that is the recap of TCU taking on the Stanford Cardinal. Or the Christmas tree, as Ryan likes to call them. And TCU comes away with a win, not quite the win that we were all kind of expecting. It was very interesting. Wins 34-27. Didn't quite, you know, break the, we didn't cover the spread. It was 7.5 points. We did up to that last field goal by Stanford. But let's talk a little bit about this. We have a new-look defense, and I know Shannon wanted to be here tonight to talk about that. Unfortunately, he was indisposed this evening. We got a new-look defense. We got some new looks, new personnel on special teams. Offense looked very interesting. So let's start off. Nathan, let's start with you. Opening drive of Stanford, TCU commits three personal fouls, keeping the drive alive, and Stanford ends up putting it in the end zone 7-0. How are you feeling after that?
I'm going to have an unpopular opinion here. I was actually okay with that. Obviously, you don't want them to end the drive.
With what part of that were you okay?
The physicality.
Okay.
It's good to see us come out, have some fight. I know, obviously, you don't want to get penalties, extend their drive, let them score, all that stuff. But it set a good tone for our defense and showed us that our defense is ready to come out and hit people. And obviously you have time to clean it up. It was the first game. Your timing's a little off. You just got out of camp. You know, you're ready to hit someone new mm-hmm. instead of your own teammates. And so it's good to see that, honestly, that they're ready to come out and play. Because last year, it was kind of the opposite. You know, we kind of never really saw some fight.
A little flat.
Yeah, a little flat from them. Not really
hardly
energetic.
Any pressure.
Yeah, and so it was good to see that. Obviously, you know, clean it up. Don't get the penalties. Keep it within the whistles. But I was not completely upset by it.
Well, considering how much you love the officiating of the game, I'm kind of surprised to hear that that was your...
The only one I was not happy with was when he was pulling his arm away and they called the...
Camara?
Yeah, it was stupid.
Oh, yeah. Terrible, terrible penalty right there.
I let my TV know.
Do you still have a TV after that?
Two of them.
Two, okay. Did you start with three?
Four.
Four. That's what I figured. Jordy, how about you? I mean, I cannot disagree with what Nathan said here. The physicality of defense was... It was a breath of fresh air, right? Considering what we've seen out of this squad over the last couple of years. How did you feel about that first defensive series? Did you come away with a different perspective, or did you feel like, yeah, I kind of like where this is going?
Yeah, I think like Nathan said, it kind of set the tone for the rest of the night. I know those penalties would obviously like them back, but I think it was really impressive to see guys flying around all night. I think we had like maybe 10 tackles for loss throughout
the 10.
Game. Like, I mean, that's really impressive considering what we've seen over the last couple of years. So, yeah, like I said, I think it really set the tone. And, yeah, I'm excited to watch the guys go do it again.
Yeah, one of the things I really enjoyed about this was seeing what the defensive line was actually doing all game long. And a lot of guys on the board were kind of complaining a little bit because some of the front four looked like they were almost going to be called for offsides. You guys know what I'm talking about, where they kind of looked like they were starting a little bit too soon. And they never threw a flag on that. And I know a lot of people, especially on Twitter, when you're watching the Stanford guys, they're constantly yelling, it's, you know, offsides, offsides, offsides. But I kind of equate this to drag racing and staging in drag racing. You guys know much about drag racing? And the thing is that in drag racing, right, you pull up to the line, there's actually two sets of lines, right? There's a pre-stage and then a stage. And when you pull up to that pre-stage, you kind of roll forward to the staging line. And you can do something called a shallow stage and a deep stage. And I think what we've done the last couple of years is that front four has kind of been closer to that line of scrimmage, that kind of like deep stage, so that they really don't have any room for error. But what I saw with a lot of the guys, between Marcel Brooks and these kind of guys were standing, especially the outside guys, the edge guys, they were kind of shallow stage. They were back a little bit away from the line of scrimmage, and they were able to kind of get that little bit of a jump before the snap, and that really kind of upset the Cardinal offense. And I really enjoyed watching them kind of go to work on that, especially Deal. Deal was outstanding, I thought, on Friday. What'd you guys think?
I was excited and happy to see Marcel doing well. He's had a rough couple years with injuries.
Oh, yeah.
I know he came in, transferred in, and then kind of immediately was kind of out. He played early last year, but again, first game got hurt, I think. So I was happy to see him being able to go out, be himself. He's a fun guy. Like, if you watch him, if you hang out with him, if you see him and talk to him, he's a good guy to get to know. So I was very happy for him. Got to see him fly around, make some tackles for losses, made a huge impact on the game.
Well, that one in the second half, it was third and eight or something like that on their 20, and he ends up tackle for loss back at, like, the 2 or 3 yard line. I mean, that was a massive, massive sack.
Yeah, huge. And then also our DBs. I was more focused on our secondary because that's been an issue for a while. So it was good to see our DBs go out, play, contest balls without getting the penalties later in the game. But that's kind of always plagued TCU. Even going back to when I was playing, we've always had a bad whistle and a bad flag when it comes to our DBs playing defense. And so it was good to see them being able to go up, contest, knock balls out, and not get penalized for it.
What'd you think about, and this was mentioned on the broadcast, what'd you think about the ACC crew kind of letting the wide receivers and the DBs play?
Oh, I love it. I think it was Colorado game. At the end of the game, Colorado's going down. I thought their defender made a good play, got his head around, but then they caught the pass interference, gave Colorado a fresh set of downs.
Right.
Colorado went down, scored, and won the game. I don't like it when refs get in the way of the game and kind of make it about themselves. Obviously, I've talked about that a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, just a few.
So
remember, you did start off with 4 TVs.
I did, yes. So it's good to see them kind of stay out of the way. Obviously, if it's a penalty, it's a penalty. Call it. But don't get too picky. If you're going to call it a certain way, keep it that way. And so they did. They called it the same way the whole game. It wasn't like at the end of the quarter or at the end of the game, they started calling everything, which, you know, a lot of refs do. And so I was refreshed to see that.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be in for a long game when Savion, it looked like he may have pushed off, but they let him play out. There was a lot of hand fighting that was going on in that corner of the end zone, and they let it go. And I was really kind of glad to see them do that. And like you said, be consistent throughout the entire game. Don't call it different ways for either team. Jordy, how did you feel about the rest of the defense? Were you also worried a little bit about the secondary, or did you like this? Did you like what you saw out of the TCU defense?
Yeah, I think initially going into this first game, we're a little bit worried here, and you know that DB room was a little bit banged up. But yeah, it was really exciting to see that they handled themselves really well. It was a pretty big part of the game, honestly, especially late when we were able to break up a ton of passes. And yeah, I think it's the defense is so athletic, so it's so good to see guys like flying around. I haven't seen that in a long time, so yeah, I'm super excited. I think the defense is going to be a really strong point for us moving forward.
Yeah, well, you limit the Cardinal offense to only 165 yards through the air and only 121 yards on the ground, and over 80 of those was just on, you know, busted up plays, and the quarterback ends up getting out of the pocket and runs for a lot of yards. So overall, at least on paper, the defense did a fantastic job, but they were put in the hole for a lot of different reasons. One, obviously that first series, 3 personal fouls kept the drive going. Turn back around a couple series later, TCU, J.P. Richardson fumbles the ball right into the hands of a Stanford Cardinal, gives them the ball on the 20. Now, the interesting thing about that particular series, as much as everybody was complaining about it and you know, was ready to just light the town on fire right after that turnover. I went back and watched it again. It took them another 7 snaps from the 20 to get into the end zone. And the only way they got into that end zone was on a 4th-and-goal. So this defense is playing hard. They're playing fast. I really enjoy seeing the scheme. I think the scheme plays really well into the personnel that we actually have. And to be honest with you, the corners were locked down the entire night. I was really impressed with the way that both corners played, and that really kind of helped alleviate some of the issues that we were talking about last week, Jordy. If you remember, we were talking about the safeties being one of the big question marks, and the corners really helped them out.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very impressive to see. I think, like I said earlier, that's going to be a big point for us all year, being able to stop, you know, those deep balls and making teams have to try and run on us. And yeah, good luck, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. I think some of my standout players, obviously, on defense, when you're kind of going back into this, Deal, for me, was just a huge surprise. I think he was inside busting up every single play, in the interior of the line, the exterior of the line. It was fantastic to see him kind of get down there. McDonald was great off of the edge. We knew he was going to be a special player, and he certainly showed it last week. And then, like you said, both corners deserve all the praise in the world. Was there somebody that each of you thought maybe was a standout on defense? I know, Nathan, you were talking about Brooks. Was there anybody else that you thought maybe was a standout?
Individually, not really. I mean, aside from Marcel, that's more so just because I'm happy for him and his situation and being able to come out and just have fun again. But overall, I'm just going to praise our secondary as a unit because they seemed like they were doing really well together and meshed well. Like, you've heard a lot of comments come out of camp from players that like, this team just seems very together and like seems like one unit, which
right.
is what you need on defense, especially when you come in with a new defensive coordinator, a new defensive scheme. You got to be able to play well together. And so that was just good to see.
Yeah, they do seem to play for each other.
And in a tight game, that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Jordy, how about you? Anybody that stuck out?
Yeah, I think as a whole, it's impressive to see so many contributors on defense, so many guys that you can put in and have faith that they're going to do their job. I really liked Jamel Johnson's game. I think he led the team for tackles. young guy who didn't really get much of a run at it last year. So, yeah, he's super talented, like a lot of guys on defense. But, yeah, it was awesome to see him have that sort of game and give me a lot of confidence going forward as well.
Well, it was certainly an interesting look on defense. And again, without any of the major mistakes, I think this defense comes off even better. It's going to be interesting to see just kind of how they kind of handle this particular group that's coming up in Long Island this week on Saturday. But let's, before we move to offense, Jordy, let's come back to you. Let's talk about special teams. And we've got a new place kicker and we got a new punter on the team. How did you feel that they did as a unit?
I think they both would probably admit that they made a couple of little mistakes. And obviously in the kicking game, you're only going to get limited opportunities. I think Kyle did really well kicking the ball, both kickoffs and field goals. Probably missed that one. I mean, the snap was a little high. Hold wasn't great. But, you know, still their job to make it.
Well, when we were talking about this before the podcast, too, I was really impressed because you reminded me, because I, to be honest with you, I completely forgot. The backup punter is actually the holder for that.
Yeah, shout out my boy Easton Black. He's been at TCU for a couple of years, and it's good to see him get an opportunity. And I think he handled himself pretty well. It's yeah, obviously his first time playing in a college game, so he's only going to get better from that. But yeah, like I said, I think the guys, both kickers, would be pretty keen to get back out there and, you know, show what they can do.
Yeah, I will have to give praise also to Easton, because that high snap could have gone bad real quick. I was really impressed he was able to get that and get that down. And even though the hold may not have been what he wanted or what Kyle needed to be able to make that kick, I think that he prevented that from becoming a far worse situation for the Frogs at that point in time in the game.
Yeah, for sure. It's such a small part of the game. It's nice to hear some specialists get a little bit of air time. So, yeah, I think he handled himself really well, and he's only going to get better from that. And, you know, Brent, the long snapper, one of my best mates. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to get better from that too.
Well, I like what we saw out of the young guys, and hopefully we'll continue to see them improve throughout the season. Nathan, let's get back on the offensive side of the ball here. And we've got a new running back in Cook. What were your thoughts on his game on Friday?
I loved it. He was very patient. You could see he's able to be patient, let the play develop, and then show a good burst, like, immediately. And so I love the way he ran, controlled the ball well. I know we had that one fumble, but that's, you know, another issue we can address with turnovers. But
so was that actually ruled a fumble by Cook, or was it a missed snap by Hoover? I mean, we're talking about the fumble down on the goal line.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the first half.
I think it goes more, it was ruled a fumble, but I go into more, and this is one of my kind of cons for the game, but it's an addressable thing, and it's kind of expected in the first game. It's just offensive miscommunication. There were a couple times where, you know, wide receiver quarterback weren't on the same page, the snap with that led to the fumble. Just getting the reps in and being able to develop that connection, it takes time, and it does, especially when you come in off of camp, you get into an actual game situation where, you know, there's more pressure. Like, you can do this in practice all the time, but once you get into an actual game, it's a different level. And so, and Jordan can say this, like, even special teams, like, it's just a different level when there's, you know, the lights are on and you're at night and there's an actual game on the line. It's just miscommunications that I saw from the offense. And it weren't a lot of them. It luckily didn't, you know, cost us the game. But again, they're just things that can be addressed and be fixed, hopefully, or they can plague your season. So.
Right. Well, I know one of the complaints from a lot of the fans, either whether you look on X or whether you look on the board, was that it seemed that, especially after the first couple of series, he tended to want to always kind of jump out, and instead of hitting the hole, he wanted to actually break it to the outside. And that got him into trouble. Probably until about halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah, a couple times. And you're more so just trying to – you have a certain confidence when you're running the football. And you know, hey, I'm faster than that guy. I can get out there. And sometimes it doesn't work. But you learn from it. And that's what he did. He learned from it. And eventually their defense wears down to where they're not making that play. Or they know you're capable of getting out there or making that cutback, so they're unsure of themselves. And so you have to kind of wear on them a little bit. It does happen. Sometimes you just make a bad read. But I think he showed great patience in that throughout the whole game and was able to, you know, learn from his mistakes, but then also take advantage of the defense getting tired because they were on the field a lot.
Right. And I think there were a couple of plays, if we kind of break it down, that kind of contributed to that. That kind of gave, like you said, you have to have that confidence to kind of hit that hole. And there were two specific plays down by the goal line, one of which he was trying to hit that hole and somebody ran up that A-gap. And he tried to bounce it outside and got ran down for a tackle for a loss. And it wasn't great for him. And you could tell he was really frustrated by that. And from that point on, it seemed like he was a little bit more nervous about trying to either follow his blocking or going to the hole where it was designed to be. And he was almost too early kind of wanting to bounce it outside until we got into the fourth quarter and he kind of got that confidence back.
And that's kind of been our thing for a long time is, you know, we stick to the run, we stay with it. And you notice this, maybe not so much last year, but the year before, eventually we wear the team down. And once you can do that and you can start to establish the run, even in the fourth quarter is when it usually breaks out. And TCU's been pretty good about that, like I said, going back even to when we went, you know, when I was in college, 2014, 2015, all that stuff, we had a good running back group, and so we were able to switch in people, switch them out. And I think we have a great running back room this year again. People don't talk about our running back room a lot, and it's usually one of the top groups in the Big 12 Conference, I'll say. I actually think Cook is capable of being the best running back in the Big 12. I know we got Ollie Gordon.
Wow.
I'm just going to make that prediction.
There are a lot of good running backs in this league, man.
I think that he can be the best one in the league. Just watching him from Stanford game, I know it wasn't perfect, but I think that he shows that promise. But that's just, like I was saying, that's something TCU has been capable of doing is, especially when we had Shewo and Jet in the game.
Oh, yeah.
We just wear people down. You wear them down, and eventually you break free in the fourth quarter, and you can just control the game a lot better.
Well, and I know a lot of guys were hoping to see more of Trey Sanders in this game. And Jordy, as somebody who's played with Coach Dykes, do you think that fumble that Sanders had, that luckily we actually got back, do you think that's kind of playing in a little bit to the lack of playing time that he got against Stanford?
I think potentially. I think with Trey, the biggest thing is he's been banged up before. I think they're probably just trying to ease him in a little bit.
You think it's like a confidence? It's more along the lines of just trying to ease him in from a physicality?
For sure. I mean, he's, like I said, he's been banged up before. I think Coach Dykes is probably trying to ease him in a little bit. I expect to see him to be like the goal line back throughout the year. But like Nathan said, I think Cam Cook's going to be an absolute stud. So I think that's a big thing too for Coach Dykes is giving him plenty of opportunities to learn and get better. I think going forward, we'll see a little bit of both of them. But I think the running back room goes pretty deep as well.
Yeah, I mean, Nathan, I like what you're talking about with Shewo as a nice little analogy for what we actually have in the running back room. And I think that's true. I think we do have probably a really good 1-2 punch out of both Trey and Cook. And I think that the two of them together, if Trey could get healthy again, if he is still having some nagging injuries, I think it'll be fantastic to actually see what the two of these guys can do in the backfield.
Yeah, even going back to Kendre and Imani, like, we've just always had that good kind of 1-2 punch, I feel like. And so if we can control that throughout the season, I think that can set us way ahead of the pack.
Well, I think one of the things that's going to help that out is this offensive line maturing. I think out of all the units that we saw on Friday, I think that's the one that still has the biggest question mark, is whether or not these guys can actually run block. I think they allowed far too many linebackers to hit those gaps. I think that they were pushed around a little bit too much, not necessarily on the pass blocking. I was okay with the pass blocking, but it was the run blocking again that seemed to be an issue. But when the run blocking was there, when they actually did open up those holes, that's kind of in the part of the game where Cook just wanted to keep bouncing it outside. So it was a little frustrating to kind of see that. And I can imagine from an offensive line standpoint, that would also be a little frustrating for them.
Yeah, sometimes. And again, like, it just goes back to the communication. And you know, you get that with receivers and quarterbacks is when you usually see it. But it's a running back and O-line thing, too. It's a trust that you got to develop. And I think that it'll get better throughout the season.
Well, one of the things that certainly helps that game out is when you have a running quarterback. And Hoover, for the most part, pretty much stayed home this entire game. I was kind of impressed to see that he was a bit patient with that and he wasn't the gunslinger that the broadcasters wanted to remind the audience of every other down. And it was that was interesting to see. But then in the middle of the game, suddenly it just seemed that Dykes just decides to pull Hoover in the middle of a series and puts in our freshman Haney. That was an interesting call. What did you guys make of that?
I mean, it's always exciting to see Hoss go in. I think, again, I know I say this a lot, but I think he's going to be really good as well. It was pretty exciting to see him early on. I think he might have got a bit banged up on that play, actually. So hopefully...
Yeah, I think they said an ankle injury of some kind.
Yeah, hopefully it's nothing too bad. But again, I think a lot of these early games, Coach Dykes wants to get snaps into some of these younger guys, give them opportunity. You touch on the O-line, a pretty inexperienced sort of group. Even Cam at running back, I think the more these guys get the opportunity to play, the better we're going to be down the road.
Nathan, what did you think of seeing Haas?
I feel like that's something you might usually say for like LIU, but I think it's good because if you go back to his last 2 years. We've had that issue of our quarterback got hurt in the first game. Backup comes in. Right. 2022, it worked out very well.
Yeah, I was going to say, 2 years
last
ago.
Last year, it didn't work out very well.
That's true.
Well,
yeah.
And again, he was a new quarterback. Two different scenarios. You go 2022 when Max came in. Max had experience. He'd been in the big games before.
Yes.
Last year, we have a new quarterback still getting his legs under him, and so it was completely different. But I think that it was you're trying to give him a little bit of primetime experience. Like, it's a night game. You want to let him see those snaps early so that if it comes down to 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, he's got a little bit underneath him.
Right. And I know there were a few people that were talking about this out of camp, that there seems to be some schemes that they have kind of set up specifically for him, even in the middle of a series, where they actually bring him in there. And I think what triggered that a little bit early, if you kind of go back and watch that play, the defender from Stanford on the previous play actually came in, and after Hoover completed the pass, he actually kind of hit his helmet with his forearm. So I don't know if maybe they took him out mainly just from a concussion protocol, just to being on the safe side, and then went ahead and go with that package, or if it was designed. Either way, I thought it was interesting. It was good to see the young guy run, and boy, is he fast. And I think that's going to be interesting, and I agree with you, Jordy. I mean, I know you keep saying it as well. I agree with you. I think he's going to be fantastic. He's going to be a lot of fun to
Everybody
watch.
Everybody does.
I know. It's going to be interesting.
He's also got a sick name for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Hoss. Big Hoss Haney. How cool is that?
Yes.
Yeah, go Bearcats.
Yeah, Lido Bearcat. Gotta love it. Hey, Shannon's not here. We can talk about Lido all we want. It's okay. So overall, I think this is an interesting game. It's always hard. We've talked about this before. It's hard to really kind of evaluate a team after the first game. Especially when both teams kind of came off of really disappointing seasons. Both these teams were not bowl eligible last year. Both teams on paper are supposed to be improved. How much of that improvement out of the Stanford Cardinal that we saw on Friday, I'm not sure. I think a lot of that was just mainly because of the fact that TCU was kind of giving them a lot more opportunities than they needed. But I will say this. Great teams find ways to win, right? And we saw that in 2022, time and time again. You go back to watch that Colorado game in 2022, a lot of us thought the game was over by halftime. And they end up coming back and they win, and you see what type of season we actually had. For those of you who have prescription for heart medicine, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We went through several prescriptions that season. But the interesting thing about this team is that with all the little things that went wrong, there are a lot of little things that they did well and did right and were able to actually adjust and end up winning the game. And at no point in time did I feel like the team panicked. I didn't feel like there was any hotheads on the team. I thought for a while after those couple of drops that Williams had, I thought, we're going to have some problems here on the sideline. But no, what the report we got is he went over there, told himself it's not going to happen again, asked one of his teammates to start throwing them balls and start working on the sideline. I think that really goes to show, especially out of this first week game, the type of mentality that this team has. And Nathan, you talked about this before, that the reports we got out of camp is that these guys are playing as a family more so than a team.
Yeah, I'm actually probably going to shock you a little bit. I was actually very optimistic about this game. Just like overall, I know I'm a very pessimistic person. Oh, I'm usually
very pessimistic.
Usually the person that's like, I don't know if we're going to blow them out when it's LIU, but
that's a good sign.
So I was actually very optimistic, even like I said, from, the penalties at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
I was good. It was good to see fourth quarter down, drive down under 2 minutes, get a touchdown. I think that a lot of issues in the past, outside of, Mad Max miracles, have been...
There were a lot of them.
Yeah. Late in the game, we've struggled to put a drive together. And we start to kind of panic. And we can't get it done like Texas last year. Texas Tech. We were very capable of winning those games. And you just don't see it. Like, something happens.
Did not win a single one-score game last year.
No. We start to kind of panic. And we rush the what we're doing. Or we get flustered. And so it was... I was so happy to see us go down under 2 minutes, very calm, collected, score a touchdown, and actually a fairly easy touchdown because it was a wide open corner. But that was my biggest takeaway from this was we did that. We controlled the game at the end of the game, and that sets. And I'm glad they had it in the first game because you get that experience under your belt, and so now you can kind of go into the rest of the games because we got a hard schedule. Big 12 is going to be very competitive.
Oh, yeah.
There are going to be a lot of one-score games where you have to be able to do that. And so I was super excited to see that from us.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the conference overall, and I agree with you. It's going to be a tough schedule. But, Jordy, let me ask you this. Watching these guys play Stanford, did it kind of feel a little bit like that 2022 team that you had?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, that team, we won a lot of one-score games, like you touched on. We didn't get on the right side of the ledger last year. But I think, yeah, that's a sign of a good team. You know, just finds a way to get things done. And I'm, like Nathan said, I feel very optimistic as well. I think if we clean up some of those errors, like, we probably win that game by 3 or 4 touchdowns. And it's not really close. And we're, having a totally different conversation about how good the team looks. So, yeah, moving forward, I think we clean up some of those mistakes and... Yeah, it put the whole league on notice.
Let me ask the question from a different perspective. Is there anything that you saw in that game that can't be fixed between week one and week two?
I don't think so. I think it's that's what they're going to be working on all week is just cleaning up those little, it's just little mental errors or, fumbles and stuff. That's, that's basic skill errors that we clean up. And, I'm very optimistic moving forward.
So the issues that we had,
there's the Nathan we love.
No. So we had the, turnovers, offensive communication. We had a missed field goal. If those things don't get addressed, they can plague your season very badly.
I agree with that.
Sure.
But I'm optimistic that they can get those things fixed. They seem like the type of unit that can do that.
Right.
And even going to the missed field goal, people don't understand, like, TCU is a hard place to kick at. We've had some good kickers, going even all the way back to Jaden.
Very many great kickers.
Yes.
Yes.
Outside of the 2016 team, God rest their souls. But we've had some very good kickers, and so it's that there's a lot of pressure to come in here and to be able to perform at that level, and even good punters like Jordy, Ethan. When I was there at TCU, we've had good punters and good special teams units, good returners. We put a lot of returners in the NFL.
Yes,
and
we
so
do.
It's a high, we expect a certain standard at TCU for special teams. And so that's where I'm optimistic is I'm honestly kind of glad he had that missed field goal because I can't do that. I got to go in. He's going to go into they're going to have some games where it's one score. He's got to go in and make a field goal and he's going to get those addressed. And I'm glad to see that. That's my optimistic point of that one.
I like the way you ended that for sure. All right. I can't disagree with anything that you guys said. I think it was a great game. It is an interesting one, kind of going back. It's one of those that when you're watching it in the moment, it can get very frustrating to the point where you lose a TV set. But I think looking back, or two, I think looking back at this game, I think there's so many positives coming off of the season like we had last season, seeing the way that the guys responded when they were down, when things weren't going right, when the ball wasn't bouncing their way. I mean, for goodness sakes, you have a third and long situation. You flush the quarterback out. He ends up running for a first down. The DB comes up, nails him. He fumbles the ball, and the ball bounces just right past the cornerback, right into the hands of another Stanford Cardinal. When you have all these things that are going against you, I never felt that at any point in time that these guys felt like the game was out of control. I was like, oh, okay, well, we'll do it on the next play. We'll do it on the next play. It was very much kind of like that pitcher's mentality, right? That last bad pitch that you had, shake it off, go at it to the next pitch. It was great to see, and it reminded me so much, and going back to the guys flying around on defense, it reminded me very much like some of the amazing teams that we've had in the past, going back to that 2014 Peach Bowl team, which will be honored this year at, which game is that, Nathan, that the Peach Bowl team's going to be honored?
Texas Tech. So everybody go to the game.
That's going to be a good one. And the Sun Bowl team's also going to be here in a couple of weeks, going to be honored as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see some of these guys come back to TCU. And little spoiler, we may have a few of them on the podcast that week. So that'll
Fingers
be a
crossed,
lot of fun.
Yes.
including a big one that we'll announce a little bit later on. So that brings us to this week's game against the LIU Sharks. And first off, I absolutely love the mascot here, the Sharks. And their colors, we were talking about this earlier, Nathan, very much akin to the San Diego Chargers.
Yes. I love the powder blue. Like, that's just a legit color. I would get a car in that color. But
yeah, it's very nice.
Yes.
It's like if TCU would actually play in lavender again, that'd be interesting.
We have too many purples. We have so many purples. Like,
we got to differentiate ourselves from the other purples in the league. Let's be honest.
Well, we didn't help with our new uniforms, but...
Oh, uniform talk. That's a next podcast discussion right there.
I won't get into it, but I do like... I respect LIU's color choices and the Shark, even though they look like the Chargers, but they're on the complete opposite side of the country.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. They are, and they're coming in after posting a 4-7 season in 2023.
They played Baylor too that year.
Yeah, they did, and
they lost 30-7, which I was like, oh, you know what? They put up a fight against Baylor, but it was that Baylor team that didn't also do that.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a great Baylor team to begin with. It's an interesting game. I found it this fascinating, Jordy, is that. The odds on this game, they're actually saying that the score is going to be 28-20 TCU in this game. You find that fascinating?
Yeah, that's
the odds maker. I went on one of the – I cannot find a spread for this game, first off. Las Vegas doesn't want to touch this thing with a 10-foot pole. But the one that I did find, they were predicting TCU 28, LIU 20. And I find that fascinating.
Yeah, that's wild. Honestly, like you, I haven't seen a spread for the game and it's a brave person who's going to put that score line up.
I agree. Brave, indeed. What do you guys think? Jordy, what do you want to see out of this team this week? I mean, we've got obviously things to work on between week one and week two. There's still some question marks on some units. What do you want to see out of the Frogs in this game against LIU?
Well, I think the main thing I'd like to see is just clean up those mental errors. We clean up, you know, play a little cleaner on offense, continue flying around on defense, and build some momentum going into the rest of the season.
All right, Nathan, how about you? What do you want to see?
I want to see us get ahead so much that our backups have to come in and they get experience and we can fix our issues. Yeah, that's all.
That's short and sweet.
It's LIU, you know. Like, I don't mean any disrespect to LIU. It's just one of those games that you need to come out and dominate. Especially
right
night game, at the first game in the Carter, you know, you got to come out. Hopefully, you know, weather permitting, have a great crowd, which I expect we do anyways. But, yeah, it's just one of those games you got to come in and take care of. Don't get caught looking ahead.
Right, and I find it interesting that a lot of the we were talking a little bit about conferences earlier on, especially last week when we were talking about the conference and the new look of the Big 12. A lot of the other conferences around the league were kind of throwing shade at TCU, scheduling LIU in the second week, and I found that funny, especially from SEC fans who usually schedule their cupcakes in week 10 and 11. And it was interesting to kind of see them talk about that. And I know that this game wasn't necessarily supposed to be LIU when we began with, I believe it was what, Mississippi State that pulled out of the game. So it was, it's interesting to see. Yeah, an SEC team. There you go, right? I mean, yeah, SEC guys, you know, when you get scared of the TCU Horned Frogs and we have to schedule LIU.
10-year anniversary of just whooping Ole Miss, you know.
I mean, talk about whooping. That was a heck of a whooping.
My favorite bowl game.
Yeah, we took them behind the woodshed for sure. That was a fantastic
free
bowl game.
Free Chick-fil-A.
I got so many, because I was working the press box, I got so many of those free Chick-fil-A cards.
And we got zero sauces. Y'all got
none?
All the sauce. Like, the entire bowl trip, they would give us sandwiches, like fries, and like one packet of sauce.
No
like
Chick-fil-A
no
sauce.
Sauces. And I found out, I think last year or the year before, y'all told me.
Yeah.
Y'all got all the sauces.
Oh, they had like a platter of sauces up in the press box.
We got zero.
It looked like something literally like out of, I don't know, some sort of like Southern debutante ball thing. I mean, it was, you know, like when they put the champagne glasses up there, it was kind of like that, but with Chick-fil-A sauces.
I did eat Chick-fil-A on a Sunday, though, so.
Well, yeah, well, that was special. That was a little different. You got me beat on that one. enough reminiscing about the Peach Bowl. But I think overall, this is going to be an interesting game. It's going to be one of those kind of games, hopefully, from TCU's sake, that we actually get to kind of see a little bit more from our skill players. And see a little bit what they're doing in the first and second quarter. I am with you, Nathan. I'm hoping by the time we get in the second half, we have all of our starters pulled, we've got our backups in, and we're able to give those guys some rest. And we're able to give some of those guys some reps. I think that will be fantastic. And that will be a huge change because, Jordy, over the last couple of years, these kind of games have not quite gone the way that we wanted for TCU, where we've had starters playing as deep as into the fourth quarter because the game was unfortunately too close.
Yeah, I think it's important, like Nathan said, that we go in, take care of business early, and get those backups in because, like you said, it's some of those early games some of those teams can hang around for a little bit. A lot of the time, you know, this is like the biggest game on their schedule, so they've got these ones penciled in for a long time. So, yeah, hopefully we go in, take care of business, and yeah, we move on to the next week.
All right, well, it's time for predictions, and Jordy, let's start with you. What do you think the prediction is going to be for TCU versus LIU?
I'm going to say we put up like 50 something points. We'll give LIU a field
goal. Let's be specific. 50 something.
Right. Let's go. I
mean, between 50 and 59. What do you got?
Let's go 52-3. We'll give him a field goal.
Wow, 52-3. Okay, that's a strong prediction. Nathan, what about you?
I actually went back and watched some of their highlights from the last week. They got some athletes. I'm not gonna lie, they got some good looking players.
Oh yeah, they do. Definitely.
And they disguise a lot, so they try to trick you, try to cover up a lot of their coverages.
Right.
Which I think early in the game might get us. So I'll give them a touchdown.
Okay.
They get 7 points.
Just one.
Just one touchdown.
One touchdown. How about a field goal? They get a field goal too?
They just get 7 points.
They
get
a
PAT. How about that?
Okay.
They get 7 points. Right. I got us winning 50-7.
50-7. Okay. Interesting score. I think definitely I'm kind of with you guys as far as the offense goes. Now, the interesting thing, though, about this is that I'm not entirely sure we're going to get to 50 simply because of the fact that I'm hoping we pull our starters really early. Now, that's not to say that I don't think our backups can play with LIU. I think they absolutely can. I think they're going to score. But I think the issue there is that whether or not that unit of backups can gel enough to be able to have sustained drives and be able to go down and actually finish, which is a totally different thing altogether. So we'll see how that goes. So I'm gonna be a little bit more pessimistic. I'm going to take a page out of your book, Nathan.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm going to say 42-10. I'm actually going to give them double digits.
Such a close game.
I'm telling you,
real nail biter.
It's razor thin, y'all. Razor thin.
I don't know. You get those backups in there, and they want to go prove themselves. They gotta, you know.
Yes,
they
do.
Fight for a spot.
But sometimes they want to kind of put themselves out there and kind of become a little bit more. They want to do things to kind of, you know, raise their stock, so to speak, right? And sometimes they kind of try a little bit too hard. It happens. Right, I'm not saying that's going to be the case, and it would be nice to see if that isn't the case, because that really tells me something about the team as a whole. But I'm just saying, 42-10, TCU. If that wasn't obvious, TCU wins 42-10. So, no?
I'm good. I'm going to stay optimistic.
Well,
until they give me a reason not to.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know. I'm agreeing with you. I think the slate as we move on to the season is going to be very fascinating to see. And this Big 12 unit this conference has done really well in its first week. Obviously, West Virginia loss was a big one. I don't know how much of that was because of the weather delay or whatnot, but they looked good the first couple of drives. Obviously, they just fell off a cliff right after that. Overall, I think the Big 12 is strong. I think it's definitely going to be one of the top, four major conferences that's there. I think SEC, Big 10 definitely have the bragging rights at the moment, for the moment. It was good, by the way, to see Texas A&M lose.
I love it every time.
Every time.
Absolutely.
I cry tears of joy every time.
And at Kyle Field with their 100,000-plus stadium that was supposed to be, the decibel master of college football or whatever the heck they were calling
it. So who are you rooting for, Michigan or Texas?
See, now that is a really hard question. Wait, I mean, if they could both lose.
They can't both lose.
Okay, so I'm going to say Michigan as long as, they lose half their starting team.
I'll take Michigan as well. Now Harbaugh's gone and J.J. McCarthy and some of those other guys. But, I mean, we used to beat both of them, so I don't really care.
There you go. Yeah. That's right. TCU owns the scoreboard on both those teams in the modern era. So, in the end, it doesn't matter. Both losers on my book. It's going to be interesting to see. It's good to have football back. It really is. NFL starts tonight. College is well underway. It is going to be a fantastic season. TCU starts off with a win, and that is always an important thing to start any season off with. Already, this is a better season than last year. Already, it's a better season.
We don't talk about that year. All right.
No, it was a lost year. Lost year. But this year, this team has a chance to do something special, and I'm looking forward to seeing exactly how these guys improve. I'm looking forward to this game against LIU. It's going to be an absolutely beautiful day on Saturday. Saturday night game, which is always a nice kickoff, especially in your typical kind of September weather. But this is not a typical September week. It's been an absolutely lovely week. It's going to be an absolutely lovely Saturday. So with that, come out, join us on Saturday to watch the TCU Horned Frogs beat the LIU Sharks. And it's going to be a fun season opener. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody out there who's listening to Killer Frogs. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com. You can read about the TCU Horned Frogs on SI. Or you know what? Click on over to the forum. Join the forum and tell us what you think. What do you think this final score is going to be against LIU? Do you think we're right? Do you think we're wrong? Do you think Nathan's going to have any TV sets at the end of the season? I don't know. Let us know.
Can we get Nathan's Venmo put in the show notes, please?
Yeah. Please. I want an over-under on how many TV sets this season.
We have a total of 8 in the house, so...
8. There you go. Wait. 8 as of now or 8 as of last week?
8 as of now. We have 1 8 in each bedroom. We have 2 in the living room. We have a movie theater downstairs. We have 1 in the garage because you can just work on your car. You want to watch some football.
Well, of course, right, yeah. Until a wrench suddenly kind of slips out of your hand.
Puts a hole in it.
Yeah. We don't talk about it.
All right. So there's your over-under. He's got 8 TV sets as of now, folks. Let us know. Go onto the forum. Let us know. What do you think? How many TV sets do you have in this season? My bet is somewhere around 2 or 3.
It all depends how the Frogs do, I guess.
I guess it does, right?
And the Cowboys, but we're not.
We got to take one day at a time. That's a whole other ball of wax. If we throw the Cowboys into this, it's 0.
Good during the regular season.
It's just that pesky playoff thing, you know? Yeah. Anyway. All right. Thank you again for joining us. Of course, you can find Killer Frogs on all the major social media, on X, Twitter. I still don't know what to call that thing. Twitter, X, Twitter, whatever Elon wants to call it this week.
It's always going to be Twitter.
It's always fun. YouTube, Instagram. I don't think we're on TikTok yet, but who knows? Maybe Ryan will do some dances for us this year. It's all good. She has told me no, so I guess that's not happening. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. And, of course, it's the time. We are at the end of the podcast. We get our frogs up, and we get to say,
Go Frogs!